The shiurim that we're going to give tonight is a series of three classes on Halachot Kashrut. It is advanced class on the Kashrut issues. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we try to finish all the Halachot that one needs to know within three times. It might take a little longer, but we try to do it three times. And tonight we're going to talk about the halachot of basar, b'chalav, meat and milk, and all the halachot related to that. The second class we're going to talk about tevilat kelim and kashering different utensils. And the third class we're going to talk about how to check vegetables and the different ashkachot. What kind of ashkacha is a proper ashkacha, what kind of not a proper ashkacha, and how a person should look into buying different things, and halachot chala, which we are going to talk about. Before we talk about the halachot, I want to tell you a story which I think is going to elaborate the halachot kashrut, that how important kashrut is. The time of the Baal HaTanya, there was a shochet in the city that Baal HaTanya lived, and he did something, and Baal HaTanya put him in chera. He miscommunicated him, and he said that nobody should eat from his shechita. There was a wedding in the city, and people didn't know. They shechted, this shochet came and shechted some animals for the wedding, and some the people ate. Many years later, somebody went to Rabbi Akiva Iger, and he said he had a child, and he said, this child is not understanding any Torah. They're teaching him, they're sending him to good school, they tried every possible way to teach him Torah, and doesn't understand. And the Rekwiger thought about it for them, asked them a lot of questions. In the end, he said to them, "Did this your son, was he involved with anything, any remote question in Kashrut?" They thought about it, and they said that it was that this child ate, the parents ate from the, when she was pregnant, she ate the food from this shochet, which the shechita was a kosher shechita. The mother ate from the shechita that the Baal HaTanya said nobody should eat from that shechita. And Rabbi Akiva Iger said, because this child got something from that food, he cannot understand the Torah. And they said they have to do tikkun, but Rabbi Akiva Iger told them what to do in order to clear up that situation, in order for him to understand. The point is that the halachot of kashrut is so, so important, and that we take it we are not taking it seriously, because today kashrut is so accessible to everybody. You go anywhere in the world, you find things that is kosher. Anything we want to do, we see things that is kosher. We are not taking it seriously. Therefore, we are not paying, or we don't learn halachot kashrut anymore. Used to be a time that people learned kashrut; they knew details of everything because they had to do everything at home. Used to be a time that people had to shecht. They brought the shechita home. They had to salt the meat. They had to treber the meat. They had to know everything about everything, and anything that they made was made by them, and they knew it's kosher. Today, you don't have to do anything. We buy everything, and therefore, a lot of people are ignorant about the halachot of kashrut. The Torah tells us that three different places the Torah says that lo tevashel gedi v'chalev imo, that one is not allowed to cook milk with the goat together. Why do we need to know that? The Gemara tells us that there are three different isurim, there are three different prohibitions that the Torah put on us. One is One is not allowed to cook meat and milk together. One is not allowed to eat meat and milk together. And one is not allowed to draw benefit from meat and milk. Right? Even though, let's say, somebody already cooked it together, it comes to you and they say, would you please sell it for me? You are not allowed to sell. And or, let's say, you at home, you made a mistake. You cooked your chicken you cooked your piece of roast with milk, right? And now, all of a sudden, I made a mistake. You cannot take that dish to your next door neighbor and say to your next door neighbor, goy, say, I want to give you as a matana. They cannot do that either. Right? They cannot give it to your dog. Cannot do anything. You have to throw it in the garbage, and nobody is allowed to draw any benefit from this meat and milk together. What's the reason that that we have the halacha of basar b'chal separation, meat and milk together? There's a lot of reasons. I'll give you two reasons. One is Keli Yakar says the reason is a chok. It's one of those mitzvot that we don't know the reasons behind it. Moreh Nebuchim, the Rambam says that the reason is because Hashem wanted to separate us and the rest of the world, and one of the things that really makes us involved with everybody else is eating. Once you have a separation, meat and milk from each other, that you don't come together, don't eat and sit together with other people and eat together, this way you are separating yourself from the rest of the world. These are the two reasons that really is for us to understand. You could understand, you could see these two reasons. Therefore, as I said, if somebody by mistake made meat and milk together, you cannot give it to a goy, you cannot give it to your animal. But let's say you have a piece of chicken that was cooked with milk, that you are allowed to give it to your goy, the next door neighbor, or give it to your animal, because basar of a chicken is not midoraita, is midrabanan. And if you, by mistake, you made it with milk, that you are allowed to give it away to somebody else. But basar behema, which is a roast or a steak or anything like that, that if it happened, if by mistake you made it, you have to throw it away. Now, the question is, what is fish comes to play into this? Are you allowed to have fish and milk together? For the Sephardim is asur, should not, no, I can't say it's asur, the minhag is not to eat. For Ashkenazim is mutar, which means lox and cream cheese, right? So Sephardim should not have it together, Ashkenazim are allowed to have it together. That's the minhag. If you have a maid working for you at home, and the maid, let's say they have their own place, or they say they want to make food for themselves, you are not allowed to tell the maid to make milk and meat together, even for themselves. You are not allowed to give them food. Let's say you give them a piece of cheese and a piece of meat, say, go ahead and make yourself cheeseburger. You are not allowed to do that. Because even if a goy does not do it for you, does it for himself, because you ask them to do that, looks like that you are getting some kind of a benefit from that. By them making it, is asur for us to be involved with that. The question is that this question comes out a lot. If somebody is looking for a job and the only job is available to work in McDonald's or Burger King or whatever, some chef restaurant. Let's say you are a cook and you could find a job working in a restaurant that's not kosher. Are you allowed to work as a chef or as a cook or as whatever, work in the kitchen cooking non-kosher meat with milk? As I said before, you are not allowed to cook even if you are not going to eat. One of the three times, the reason three times was said, one of them was the issue, the prohibition is cooking. Therefore, if somebody is involved with that, it does not have a parnasa, they want to look for a job, they are not allowed to cook basar, like meat and milk together, even though that you are not giving to a Jew. You're totally giving it to a goy. Still, you are not allowed to do that. What's somebody supposed to do? Let's say somebody that cannot find a job. The only job, this economy, we had this question so many times from different people. What should you do? There's two things you can do. One is, if you work in the restaurant, just cook chicken with milk, right? Tell the cook that I'm willing to make a chicken burger. There is anything like that. That you take the chicken meat and milk together or cheese together. That you are allowed to do. Or the dish, the pot that you're making the food in them, it should not be within 24 hours. Should be eno ben yomo. They have a term of ben yomo and we have a term of eno ben yomo. Eno ben yomo means that the pot is more than 24 hours was not used. Ben yomo means that the pot or the dish was used within 24 hours. Any time that the pot was not used within 24 hours is much lenient alachot regarding that. But if the pot was used within 24 hours, then we have more stringency to deal with that type of a pot. Therefore, if somebody works in a restaurant and they want to cook, they have to use a pot that was not used within 24 hours, or they could cook the chicken and milk together. But anything more than that, you are not allowed to say sur midoraita, and one is not allowed to be part of that. One has to have the dishes completely separate, milk and meat from each other at home. That includes anything that you bake, you cook, you barbecue, you have to have everything separate. Let's say somebody cannot have two set of dishes. Today they want to eat milchik, tomorrow they want to eat fleshik. The next day they want to eat milchik, they want to do flesh. And they want to kasher between. They want to kasher the dishes today for milk, tomorrow they want to kasher for milk. The next day one is the vice versa, every day. Are you allowed to kasher your dishes every day for a different, for basar v'chala? That also is the machloket with Ashkenazim and Sephardim. For Sephardim is mutar, for Ashkenazim is asur. They are not allowed to change. Once you made it one thing, you have to keep it that way. But Sephardim, you are allowed to change it around, one day meat, one day milk. One also has an obligation to make sure that your food, when you put it inside your fridge or your outside on the counter, you cannot put them together. You have to make sure that everything are completely separate, that they don't come to touch each other, and you have to be careful also that the food that they are parv, they are not going to come in contact with food that milchik or fleshik. Everything has to be separate, that one thing should not fall from one food to another food. There's another part of kashrut, which is very important, that is making bread, a milchik bread. Chachamim, Chazal, they prohibited for us to make any type of bread which is milchik. Okay, what's the reason for that? The reason is the Gemara tells us that because bread is a type of a food that you eat with fleshik, if you make it with milchik, you might come and eat it with fleshik. Therefore, Chachamim, they made it asur for us to make a milchik bread or fleshik bread. There's no difference. The bread always has to be parv. Now, in few different situations, one is allowed to make a milchik bread. One is, if the shape of the bread is different than a normal type of bread, like English muffin. So when you buy in the store, English muffins are milchik. How can they make that English muffin milchik? Because the shape of the muffin is very different than the regular bread. Another heter that you could make a milchik bread is that if you, let's say you make a batch, you make five, six chalot or few pieces of bread, if you finish them in one sa'uda or the whole day, one day. You cannot leave it overnight. It has to be finished during the one sa'uda, or let's say you have breakfast, lunch, supper, you finish it at one day. Then you are allowed to make it as long as it's used in that day. The third way that you could make a milchike bread or fleshike bread, let's say you have a bread, if you put a piece of cheese over it, when it's baked, you could see the cheese over it. Or let's say you make a fleshike bread. If you make the bread and you top of the bread, you see a piece of meat on top, and everybody could see it's milchik or fleshy, then you are allowed to make that way also. This way, nobody is going to make a mistake that this bread is fat. You see the cheese or you see the meat. Right? These are the three ways that you could make a milchike bread or fleshike bread. Now, let's say somebody did not know the halacha. And by the way, and one more thing, when you change the shape has to be changed before you bake it. You cannot turn the shape after it's baked. Before you put it in the oven, a lot of people, what they do, they write the word chalav in the bread. When you bake it, it says chalav on it. Mm-hmm. Right? This way, when they put it inside the oven, everybody sees that it's milchik. This halacha also applies during the 9 days. Even though during the 9 days we are not allowed to have fleishik, right? And you know everything you eat during that time is milchik, still you are not allowed to make bread which is milchik. Now what happens if somebody by mistake made a bread that is completely milchik, right? Didn't know. What should you do now? Made a lot of challot or a lot of rolls. Now all of a sudden you learn the halacha that you are not allowed to have milchik bread. What should you do? The Beis said, no, but this only in this type of situations you could put it in a bag and write on it a chalav or basar, and this way you are not going to come eat it with anything else. But it's only b'sha'at ha'dechak, not l'chatechila. You are not allowed to rely on a writing on a plastic bag. In other words, you go to the Kroger or Publix. There's a bread that says Arnold's bread, and there's a D on it. You are not allowed to buy that bread, because the bread is the shape of that bread is like a regular bread. There's ashkacha on it, but it says D on it. There's a KD. The K is a good ashkacha, but the reason OU did not put OU on it and put K, because the OU would not give ashkacha to a bread which is the shape is not different. And the bread is chalavi, therefore they didn't give ashkacha to it. Therefore, you see, some people might buy that, but the halacha, you cannot rely only on the writing on the plastic bag outside and think that everything is fine. This halacha only applies for the bread. For the pastries, it's not a problem. If you buy pastries or cakes or muffins or cookies, all that is could be milchik, and there's not a problem with that. One thing that one has to make sure that the shape is different is brokkos. Brokkos, because people make it milchik, and they also have potatoes and other type of brokkos, and they bring it to the table, it's very easy for people to have the cheese brokkos and potato brokkos at the same table. People might not know. The best thing is to do with this is to change the shape of cheeseburgers than the potato burgers, and make it different, that people should know that this is not, it's not potato and it's milchik. The other halacha that applies to the bread is that if let's say it's a lot of times people have bread on the kitchen counter, and a kid comes with milk in their hand and pours the milk over the bread, right? The milk, you don't have to throw them away, even though that the bread becomes chalavi. You don't have to throw them away because it was done by mistake. You could keep them and eat them with milk or cheese or whatever. The best thing is to do that the person should have a knife which is specially made to cut bread with should not cut bread either with basari knife or halavi knife. Should do it with a parve knife. This way you could always keep use it for without a soda. The other question that a lot of people asked was that sometimes you have chala on Shabbos. You use the piece of the chala, big piece was left over, and they want to have them Sunday morning with cheese. Are you allowed to have that chala that was sitting on your fleshy table during the week with milk? You are allowed to do that as long as you made sure that when you cut them with a parve knife, and you also made sure that your hand was clean when you touched them. Right? If these two conditions was met, then you are allowed to have that piece of bread, or let's say you have a bag of bread on the table, and some people, they take them out and use them. As long as you made sure that nothing touched them, you are allowed to have that with the other soda. But the best thing is to do, always, to have a bread for milchik, you have a piece of bread for fleshik, you don't mix them up. Now, also, people that they eat in their kitchen, they have to make sure that they have different tablecloth for milchik and different tablecloth for fleshik. In other words, you cannot have the same tablecloth when you have your breakfast, like chalavi, and your supper, fleshik, after two different tablecloths. Now, there are different situations. Let's say a family is only two people, right? Or a small family, three people, four people, and you have a big table. You could eat same tablecloth, one side you could sit for milchik, and the other side could sit for fleshik. You don't have to change the tablecloth. Or you could also have a same tablecloth, one side of that tablecloth milchik, the other side fleshik. You don't have to change the tablecloth completely as long as they are clean, and you use one side for this, the other side for the other thing. Also, I'm going to ask questions. If you have salads, right? People have a lot of small plates, small bowls that they bring to the table. It's full of salads. Are you allowed to bring those salads for fleshik seuda and milchik seuda? You are allowed to do that as long as you have spoons that was made only for them, and you made sure that the spoon that is milchik or fleshik didn't touch it. You just use the special forks or spoons for the salad, and then bring it for one soda, bring it to the other soda. But again, you have to be careful. With small families, you could control it. But big families with small kids, it's hard to do that. Let's say you have husband and a wife. One person wants to have fleshik, the other one wants to have milchik, and they want to eat together. Right? How do you do that? You have a table, and they want to sit at the same table, and one of them wants to have milchik, the other one wants to have flesh. You are allowed to do that under a few conditions. One, if each one have their placemat, right, separate placemats for themselves, then you are allowed to do that. But if you have the same tablecloth, you cannot have milchik and fleshing in the same tablecloth. But separate placemats, you are allowed to do that. Or, let's say you don't have placemats, you have only one table. If you put something, let's say you put a flower between you, something that normally was not on the table, and normally is not on the table, you put it between you, something is tall, then you are allowed to sit on the same table and eat it. The other thing you can do, let's say you have a table, one person sits at one end, the other person sits the other end, as long as when you draw your hand, you cannot touch the other food, you are allowed to sit at the same table and eat. Or, if you have somebody else between you, and that person could be a shomer, could be a guard, to make sure that you don't take food from each other and eat. serving tables, let's say you have a buffet, and you're putting all the food on top of that table, and everybody comes and serves themselves. You are allowed to have on that serving table milchig, fleshig, and fish. All three of them together, and let people choose what they want. As long as you made sure, put it in a way that one thing does not fall to the other thing. Let's put one of them here, the other one here. Yeah, put some separation. You don't have to make all three different tables for milchig, fleshig, and fish. It's a good thing to do, but don't have to do it. Now, if somebody ate fleshig, let's say you are a fleshig, and somebody else wants to have milchig, you are allowed to sit at the table the same time that the other person is eating milchig. You are not worried that you might come and take food from them. Or for the same reason, a woman that wants to make supper, let's say she is fleshig and she wants to make milchig a supper, she is allowed to do that. We are not worried that she might take food and eat within the 6 hours. The halacha is that one has to wait 6 hours between milchig and fleshig. That's the minhag Israel. That's a custom that the Jews accepted upon themselves, to wait 6 hours between milchig and fleshig. Doesn't make a difference. Is animal meat or chicken meat? Doesn't make any difference. You have to wait 6 hours. And even if you just drink soup, there's nothing inside soup. The soup is clear soup, chicken soup. Still have to wait 6 hours. And even if you have food, let's say you made rice, right? With the rice, you put chicken in there. You just ate the rice, you didn't eat the chicken, you still have to wait 6 hours. Now, there are two different customs out there. One is, some people wait 3 hours, and some people wait 1 hour between milchig and fleshig. Now, most people that they wait 6 or 1 hour are people from Europe. Now, if you want to wait one, let's say you come and say, you know what, it's minhag, I'm accepting upon myself to only wait 1 hour, right? You are allowed to do that as long as you follow every custom that you have according to that country, right? The minhag is that Holland, right, people from Amsterdam, they keep 1 hour between milchig and fleshig. That's a known fact. You could do that, but if you have to follow everything from Holland, you can't just take this custom and just for between milchig and fleshig keep 1 hour. Everything else, you go and be lenient according to everybody else. That you are not allowed to do. If a person does not have a custom, doesn't know what their custom is, you have to keep 6 hours, because that's a minhag Israel, and for generations that we know, everybody kept 6 hours. Now, what happens if, so let's say, you had lunch, fleshig. You go home, and your wife made pizza, right? Or your wife made milchig. And if you wait 6 hours, you cannot have milchig, right, at home. What should you do? You are allowed to wait only 5.5 hours. B'sha'at ad-dachak, if somebody needs to eat something, or say you are hungry, there's nothing else available, the only thing that's available is milchig, you are allowed to keep 5.5 hours for between milchig and fleshig. Or let's say you are invited somebody's home, and if you don't eat, you wait 6 hours, they're not going to be too happy with you that you are not eating their food. You could wait also 5.5 hours between milchig and fleshig, but not less than that. Now, this question also came out a few times. What happens if somebody had fleshig and 6 hours passed? Now they come to eat ice cream. They go inside their teeth and they find a piece of meat and they take it out. Right? Should they wait another 6 hours or can they eat their ice cream right away? As long as you don't swallow that piece of meat, take it out and wash your mouth, you could eat your ice cream right away, you don't have to wait at all. Sometimes also, people, they have small children, they want to make the piece of meat soft for them. They take the piece of meat and they bite on it for them, make it softer. Right? You have to wait 6 hours if you do that also. Even though you don't swallow anything, the fact that the piece of meat went within your teeth, you have to wait. But if you taste it, say you're cooking for Shabbos, you're just tasting the food to see if there's salt or whatever you need, just testing and throwing it out, that you are not, you don't have to wait 6 hours, and you could just wash your mouth and eat milchik right away. If somebody is mesupak, somebody is not sure 6 hours was passed or still within 6 hours, they don't know what happened to them. What should you wait until 6 hours, you know for a fact that 6 hours is passed, or you could assume that 6 hours is passed and eat your fleshik, your milchik? There are two different opinions. Some say that it could be mekel, as long as now if you're mesupak and you know the erech that 6 hours is passed, it could be mekel and eat your milchik. And some say should wait that you should know for a fact that 6 hours is passed. The halacha, you don't have to wait, could be maker, but if you want to be machmir, it's a good thing to be machmir, to wait, make sure that for sure 6 hours was passed. So wait, hold the question. I'm going to take questions. Hold 1 minute, please. Now, the children that are less than 3 years old, right? You don't have to keep them waiting between milchik and fleshik, right? You could, as long as you just wash their mouth. They say they had hamburger, they want to have ice cream. Could just wash their mouth and give them ice cream right away. Don't have to wait at all. After between 3 years old and 9 years old, right, should be and 3 to 5 should wait 1 hour. Between 5 and 10 should wait 3 hours, and then from 10 on should try to make sure to wait 6 hours. If somebody is sick, or a pregnant woman, or nursing women, and they want to have a milchik or fleshik, or let's say they had fleshik and they want to have milchik right away, they could wait only 1 hour and they could have milchik. They don't have to wait, because for them is considered, any pregnant woman or nursing women, for them having that ice cream or milchik is considered a sakana if they don't have. Therefore, if they ask for it, they don't have to wait. They could give them the food right away. The same halacha applies for chole shem bo sakana. If you have somebody sick, even though that there's nothing, no danger to their life, they had fleshik and they come and ask for milchik, right? You could give them a milchik as long as they wait 1 hour, and they could have whatever they need to eat. There are pills that made of fleshik, right? There are pills that mamash fleshik, kosher, and you had them and you want to have milchik right after those pills, you don't have to wait. Once you had those pills, you could have milchik after that right away. There's no need to wait 6 hours or an hour or whatever. You could eat milchik right away. Now, we have parv foods that they look like milchik, like soy milk, right? There's a concept of mar et ayin, which means that if somebody does something that people think and is doing something else, you are not allowed to do that. Now, the soy milk looks like a milk, and you just had fleshik. You make a coffee and you go to your fridge and you bring a soy milk and put it in your coffee and start drinking. Everybody is going to look at you and say, what are you doing? You just had fleshik. In the olden days, I remember 25 years ago, we asked this question for my Rosh Hashiva, and they said you cannot do that. Today is a different story, because it's so available, everybody does it, then the question of maritime does not apply anymore. Therefore, if somebody wants to have the soy milk or parve creamer, you are allowed to have that in your coffee, put it on the table. You don't have to worry about that somebody might think, right, or might assume that you're eating milchik and fleshik together. Now, another situation that comes out with milchik and fleshik is, let's say, somebody ate a fleshik food, and before 6 hours was passed, by mistake, it took a cup of milk and started drinking it. You have to stop right away. You can't just eat. You can't tell yourself, I start eating it, for God, I'm eating it, I'm going to continue drinking whatever I'm drinking. You are not allowed to do that. But what happens if you had the hamburgers, an hour later you go and make a coffee, put milk in the coffee, and you're taking and made a bracha, right? Say shakol miyavidor. Oh, before you drink, boy, I'm fleshik. But you have a question about bracha levatala. If you don't drink, it's shela bracha levatala. If you have a cup of water there, I could take the water or something else and eat instead of that, then you should do that. But if you don't have, then you should taste a little bit of that in order for the barakha not to be barakha levatala, as long as the an hour was passed from the milchik and fleshik. We have a concept of davar kharif, which is also very important to understand what davar kharif is. Davar kharif, anything that is sharp. That those foods that is go that as a category of davar kharif are garlic, onion, pepper, not the regular green pepper or red pepper. Pepper like jalapeno and the sharp peppers, lemon and pickle. All that have a din of davar kharif, which we are going to discuss this halachot of davar kharif, which is very, very important, that applies to everybody's kitchen. This halacha, this she'ela comes about, and that, therefore I'm just telling you what are considered davar kharif. Now, the simple halacha of davar kharif is, if you have a lemon or onion that you cut with a knife, which is chalavi or basari, you are not allowed to have that food, right, with the opposite of the, let's say you have onion that you cut with knife, which is fleshig, you cannot have that onion with chalav, or vice versa. Now what happens that you had this piece of onion? Do you have to wait 6 hours between that piece of onion and milchik? Then you don't have to wait. Once you have that, the 6 hours does not apply, but you cannot have it with the other food. Another halacha which also applies, this, I don't know how many people do that, but let's say you make a cholent on Shabbos morning. You have, a lot of people, they put eggs inside their cholent, right? Eggs with the shell. You take off the egg, you wash it off, and you eat it without any meat, right? Do you have to wait 6 hours between that egg and chalav? Yes, you have to wait. That's considered the egg is considered basari. But let's say you have a cholent pot, you put the egg in top of the cholent pot, and you left it there of Shabbat until Shabbat morning. The egg was cooked, right? If you eat that egg, that you don't have to wait 6 hours. That's not considered a besari. You are allowed to have the egg, and could have chalav right away after that. Now, what happens if a person has parve food? Let's say you make rice, and you make it inside a fleshik pot, which was not used, was eno ben yomo, which is not used, the pot was not used within 24 hours. That is very interesting. Today, right before I came to shul, somebody called me with this question, exact question. I said, how did you know? This lady made food, right? She made the food, she made the rice, you know, a macaroni, right? She made a macaroni in this pot, which was not used within 24 hours, and she wanted to have the cheese. Are you allowed to do that? For Sephardim, it's not a problem at all. Could have it, take it out, and have it with milk. For Ashkenazim also is not a problem. As long as the pot was not used for 24 hours, they could be maker. The difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim is, if the pot was used within 24 hours, and you made the food, made rice in that pot, then you want to take that pot, that rice, and eat it with milchik, for Sephardim is okay, for Ashkenazim is not okay. But you could have that rice, then right away you could have milchik. You cannot have milchik with the rice. You could have milchik right after the rice. But the difference is only if the pot was used within 24 hours with milk, with fleshik, or was not. If it was not used, then it's not a problem, but everybody is the same. If it was used, then for Sephardim is okay, for Ashkenazim is not okay. Now, how long one has to wait between milchik and fleshik? Till now we spoke about fleshik and milchik. How long does it wait between milchik and fleshik? The best thing is to do to wait at least half an hour, if you can. If you can't, then just wash your mouth, and then you could have your milchik, whichever way you want. Now, the question is, cheese. How long do you have to wait between cheese and meat? Regular cheese, cream cheese or cottage cheese or American cheese or any of these cheeses, as the same halacha like any other type of milchik. What about gevinat sehuva? Gevinat sehuva is a hard cheese. Hard cheese, do you have to wait 6 hours or don't have to wait 6 hours? The only gevinat sehuva that is a shaila of waiting is Parmesan cheese. The Parmesan cheese, the minhag is to wait 6 hours. That's only for Ashkenazim. Sephardim don't have to wait. Right? Sephardim, the halacha, half hour cheese does not apply, and you could have, just wash your mouth, wait half an hour, and you could have your fleshik right away after that. But the poor Ashkenazim Parmesan cheese is considered a hard cheese, and they should wait 6 hours. What about other types of cheese? Let's say there's a Swiss cheese. They are in Tenuva makes also cheese, which is hard cheese. Now they are give you a rule. I don't know which one is considered is 6 months, not 6 months. But there are few rules. If you follow, you could figure out if the cheese is hard cheese or no. One of them is if the fat is a high fat. Also, the cheese has to be 6 months old, and also the cheese has to be a hard cheese. If these three requirements are met, then that cheese is considered a hard cheese, which the Ashkenazim, they have to wait 6 hours before they eat fleshik. Now, I want to give you the other side also. There are a lot of poske Ashkenazim that they hold the hard cheese does not apply to them at all, even for Ashkenazim. The only reason that I said Ashkenazim should wait because Rav Eliashiv holds that they should wait, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Arba holds they don't have to wait. They say that the idea of hard cheese does not exist today. Nobody has a cheese in the market that sits in the shelf for 6 months. Does not apply. And therefore they tell you that the idea of hard cheese does not apply. You don't have to worry about it. And you could have it, but the minhag is that only one that I know of is as a din of as a halacha of hard cheese is Parmesan cheese that should wait 6 hours. The other ones, if somebody wants to be maker, they could be maker and don't have to worry about it. Now, if somebody has a false teeth, right? You don't have to have two sets of false teeth for milchik and fleshik. If you have one, you clean it up, you wash it up, and you could use the same teeth for milchik and fleshik. Now, questions now.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.